Good morning. Today I will continue speaking on the topic, maintaining hope in the midst of the prevailing coronavirus pandemic. To say that these are challenging times in our world sounds like an understatement. Thankfully, Jamaica has been spared from the worst of the ravages of COVID-19, but we can in no way understate the pain and disruption brought on our people by this dreadful disease caused by the virus, for which no vaccine has yet been determined or discovered. The situation in countries in North and South America with the highest populations is heartrending, to say the least. Untold suffering has been unleashed in the United States by COVID-19, disproportionately affecting minorities, and this has been compounded by the inherent injustice in the system, which has resulted in the death of members of the black communities. In Brazil, in South America, the death toll from COVID-19 is rising at an alarming rate, affecting the poor and minority communities disproportionately. Across the world, suffering is on the rise and hope on the decline. In such a situation, what does the Bible say? God's word, what does it have to say? Romans chapter 8, verse 18 to 22. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. I have a couple of points that I want to share on this passage. Creation groans. When God finished his creation, it was a good creation. Genesis 1, verse 31. But today, it is a groaning creation. There is suffering and death. There is pain, all of which, of course, is a result of Adam's sin. It is not the fault of creation. Note the words that Paul used to describe the plight of creation. Suffering, Romans 8, 18. Vanity, 8:20, bondage, 8:21, decay, also 8:21, and pain, 8:22. When God finished, he made a perfect world. However, the groaning that the world, creation, is experiencing is not a useless thing. Paul compared it to a woman in travail. There is pain, but the pain will end when the child is delivered. One day creation will be delivered, and the groaning creation will become a glorious creation. God will make all things new. The believer in Christ does not focus on today's suffering, but looks forward to tomorrow's glory. Today's groaning bondage will be exchanged for tomorrow's glorious liberty. The believer does not focus on the suffering being experienced, because there is hope. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18 says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but are the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Today's groaning bondage will be exchanged for tomorrow's glorious liberty. My second point, why do believers groan? The reason we groan is because we have experienced the first fruits of the Spirit, a foretaste of the glory to come. Just as the nation of Israel tasted the first fruits of Canaan when Moses sent the spies to spy out the land, Numbers 13:23-27, so we, Christ's followers, have tasted the fruits of the heavenly blessings to come through the ministry of the Spirit. This makes us want to see the Lord, to receive a new body, and live with him and serve him forever. We have hope, and this hope make it not a shame. We are waiting for the adoption, which is the redemption of the body, when Christ returns. Philippians 3:20-21. This is a thrilling climax to the adoption that took place at the conversion when we gave our lives to Christ, when we became new creatures, when the Spirit adopted us and placed us into God's family. When Christ returns, we shall enter our glorious and fulsome inheritance. Meanwhile, we wait in hope, for we are saved by hope. The apostle says, Romans 8:24. What is hope? That blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13. The best is yet to come. The believer does not get frustrated as he sees and experiences the suffering and pain of this world. He knows that the temporary suffering will one day give way to eternal glory. My third point, the Spirit groans, 25-30. God is concerned about the trials and sufferings of his people, and the Spirit groans within us. When he was ministering on earth, Jesus groaned when he saw what sin was doing to mankind. Mark 7:34, John 11:33-38. Today, the Holy Spirit groans within us and feels the burdens and weaknesses and the suffering that we bear. But the Spirit does more than groan. He prays for us in his groaning so that we might be led into the will of God. We do not always know God's will. We do not always understand when we pray, but the Spirit intercedes so that we might live in the will of God in spite of suffering. The Spirit cheers the burden. The believer never needs to faint in times of suffering and trial because we know that God is at work in the world. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And he has a perfect plan. His plan is to ensure that we are conformed to the image of his son, Romans 8:29. God has two purposes in that plan, our good and his glory. Ultimately, he will make us like Jesus Christ. Best of all, God's plan is going to succeed. It cannot be derailed. It started in eternity past when he chose us in Christ. Ephesians 1:4-5. He predetermined that one day we would be like him. Christ's followers should never be discouraged, never frustrated in times of crisis and uncertainty. Our hope reaches beyond the confines of time and space and is anchored in Christ, the solid rock. So in these times of crisis, in this coronavirus pandemic, put your hope in Christ. On Christ's solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Next week, I will continue sharing on this topic.